God bless you. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. You may be seated. How many of you can remember where you were 44 years ago today? Was that day of any importance to anybody to write it down? Anybody's birthday or 44 years ago today, Sister Green and I spent our first day in Tucson. When I woke up this morning and realized that was an anniversary for her and I'll be honest with you, I shook my head. I sat down at the dining room or the kitchen counter and I said, Lord, why didn't I stay in Texas? This morning, my agenda, my load, the situations that I was facing today, not my problems, but others that I was involved with and so forth, I just, as a man, I honestly said, Lord, why didn't you let me stay in Texas? Why did I have to come here and be alive this day to face this many problems? You ever been that way?
Oh, yeah.
But I sat in the office just now and made a list of those, and I'm very happy to report that God came on the scene for every single one of them today. My wife will tell you that she and I were burdened so yesterday afternoon and last night we wanted to go to bed and go to sleep so we wouldn't think about them. But you can look at her and tell there's a difference. We've seen the hand of God work in our lives today. I tried to think, what was I expecting when I came here in 1965? Well, I'll tell you, I was expecting the Lord to come. And I'll have to be honest with you, I'm looking for him tonight.
Amen.
I can't think of anything else that at that time I was expecting and still expecting it. But I still believe that God is coming.
Amen.
You may say, well, I've never heard you say that way. Well, you haven't read your Bible. Because Paul says we're waiting on God.
Yes.
Even his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
May I be bold enough to say, I believe I'm looking for the seventh seal.
Yes.
And for Brother Perry Green to mention the seventh seal, that just brings up a lot of thoughts in people's minds. But I still believe that Brother Branham identified the seventh seal as the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the truth is whether it's white cloud, white horse, however you want to, the truth is he's coming.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Right, Lord.
I had some people rebuke me this week. I had some who, they didn't do it in a nasty way, but they more or less told me that, Brother Green, is that the only thing you can preach about? Is that the only subject there is in your Bible? That the only thing you heard Brother Branham say? And I had to say no, but I said, what would you want me to tell you? You want me to tell you some mystery?
Yeah, come on.
Or are you looking for some kind of a new experience? I want you to know something, folks. This has been the story that Christians have been looking for over 2,000 years.
Sure.
And when Brother Branham says that 80% of the teachings of Jesus pertained to his return, well, then 80% of the time I should be able to talk about it. If I'm preaching the Bible. You look at everything that's happened, everything that's in the Bible. All the prophecies. What was the accumulation of all of them? It was the Lord coming to this earth. In the Old Testament, it was his first coming. According to what Brother Branham says, 80% of the New Testament is about his second coming.
Yes.
And why are you living a Christian life? What do you want to see happen? If I could give you an example. When I came here and started pastoring Tucson Tabernacle, the first time I got a chance to really get acquainted with Brother Armin Neville, I asked Brother Neville this question. I said, Brother Neville, you've pastored a church with Brother Branham there as a senior pastor for decades. How do you ever get over the fact that people come to you and say, well, Brother Green, can you get Brother Branham to pray for me? If he won't, will you? I said, how long does it take you to get over that, getting your feelings hurt? They don't care nothing about your prayers. They want to use you to get to Brother Branham.
Yeah.
And he said, Brother Green, you'll never get used to it. He said, people don't realize how cruel they can be. I don't have enough confidence in you to believe God will hear your prayers. I want to hear the prophet. Well, when Brother Sidney Jackson came here, Brother Jackson said and did a lot of things I didn't agree with. We had Brother Linhart and Brother Nathaniel Johnson here at that time assisting us like we've got the brothers now. And a lot of people would come here to ask for things, and if they went to Brother Nathaniel or to Brother Thompson or one of those brothers, or Brother Linhart, when they got to the interview, they'd all say, well, what does Brother Green think about it? Well, that was difficult for those brothers to deal with, and I tried to get people to say, look, I'm not the only one got the word. I'm not the only preacher here. But I found out that Brother Sidney Jackson, because of his age and his reputation, people could go and get an interview with Brother Jackson, and they wouldn't ask, what does Brother Green think about it? And boy, was I glad to have him around. I didn't always agree with his answers. I didn't always agree with his teachings. But you know what? I was glad to have him around. Because he could help people, and they had enough confidence in him to be helped.
Amen.
Now, it's the same way nowadays. If I'm not going to preach about the coming of the Lord, what is more important? What are you living for? You take Daniel's 70 weeks. It wasn't showing just what was happening right there then. It was things from then until the time of the end of the world.
Right. Amen.
All the types in the Old Testament. The examples we had. Even Joseph in Egypt with his Gentile bride dismissed her, put her aside, revealed himself to his brother. Isn't that a type of what we're looking for right now?
Amen.
Why did we need a prophet like Elijah to do what? Restore the faith of the children back to the fathers so it'd be at the end time, correct all those things, got off into error. So what? So the Lord could come.
Yes. Amen.
All the parables. How many parables do you know? You look at them. We're going to read scriptures about them tonight. But how many of those parables talk about the coming of the Lord this time? And so I'm not apologizing for the theme I'm on right now, because I want you to know I believe the Lord's coming. Can you think about that? That God is coming? I heard Larry King one time, that television radio commentator, back when he was just on the radio. Somebody asked him one night when I was listening to it, they wanted to know, out of all the people you've interviewed, who was the most interesting? And he named off somebody that I don't even remember now. But he said, I'll tell you what, the person I would prefer to interview above everybody else I've ever heard of is Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that impressed me. If you had an opportunity to interview anybody that's ever lived, who would you want to interview? Now, the same way, if you had an opportunity to meet somebody or to be with somebody, who would you want to be with? I think maybe the Muslims would want to be with Muhammad. Probably some of the Chinese would want to be with Confucius. Who do you really want to see?
Amen. Amen.
Who do you really want to be like?
Yes, sir.
Who is your example?
Amen. That's good.
And I'm here to tell you that I don't think we're enthused enough about the opportunity we've got facing us. Just think about it.
Yes.
We're going to get to see Jesus Christ. The Son of Almighty God.
Amen.
The Creator of heavens and earth.
Amen.
God in human flesh.
Amen.
The only way we'll ever see God. So excuse me if I seem to be heavy on this subject right now. But any other subject I would talk about, there's still an event that surpasses that one. And that's His coming.
Right.
Brother Bram said that seventh seal is the end of everything.
Yes. Amen.
And I think about all the wonderful things that's going to be the end, that's going to occur then. What are you preparing for? What are you looking for tonight?
Amen.
Your graduation, your new job, raising your family, winning the lottery, having a success in your business? Come on, folks.
Right.
What's the greatest event that you could be a partaker of?
Amen.
I challenge you, if you know one that I should have more enthusiasm about than I do the coming of my Lord, then you tell me.
Right.
And I'll tell you now, I'm going to differ with you. Because there is nothing else to compare with just the thought of all the things that's promised us when that event occurs. I ask you, what are you living your life for? If you gain this whole world and you're not ready for that time when He comes after you to translate you, to change you, and to raise the dead, and go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, what have you gained if you live this whole life and you miss that event?
Right. Amen.
That's true.
What are we doing with ourselves? Then how could somebody be, let's say, far enough removed from the spiritual events that they would accuse a preacher of talking about the coming of the Lord too much? Or are they telling me, I've heard it, I'm tired of it, I'm ready, I don't need to know anymore? And I ask you again, what could be more important? Lord, open our eyes. We gain the whole world and miss the rapture. What good's it done you?
Amen.
Wealthy? Read in the paper today where Mr. Warren Buffett is buying the Burlington Railroad. $34 billion. Known as probably the most successful investor there's ever been. Bill Gates is the wealthiest man, but Mr. Buffett's close to second there. And he didn't build anything or a company. He buys and sells companies. Never manufactured anything. Makes money off of other people's losses. How much money does he need? I'll repeat it again. I believe that if Howard Hughes or Paul Getty, any of those multi-million billionaires, they'd give it all for one more day of life on this earth. What about fame? Who would you pick? Napoleon? Hitler? One of the popes? Alexander the Great conquered the whole world 33 years old? I tell you what. All kind of honors, doctors, DDs, LLDs, ownership, authority, politics, popularity, praised by men, power without God, miserable, lost and undone. One scripture, he that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
But he that hath not the Son hath not life. Is it okay if I talk about the Lord coming?
Amen.
I mentioned to you Sunday morning that Sunday night I wanted to talk to you about a phase of that subject. And that what I entitled it, Ready and Waiting. Because the Bible talks about that.
Yes.
But as I've read all the scriptures, and I've read all the quotes that I could find, there is something happening to me in my thought pattern. I shared with you Sunday morning that of an experience I had Thursday morning about 1 o'clock, where folks, I awakened after a couple hours sleep, and I actually felt that I had been changed. There was no pain, no discomfort. I felt like I was floating on air.
Amen.
Weightless. There was not a negative thought. Brother Brandon, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he came back and told us that there's no way to describe it. I don't have the words.
Amen.
I did think, well, is Janice here? I got out of bed and I went and saw her in the bed in her bedroom. I want you to know what happened again this week. And I think this time it was a little longer than the last time.
Amen.
I hope you caught that. One of these days it's going to be a permanent change with me. And when I read that Brother Bram says what it is, it's the Word in us. And one day that Word will manifest itself. And that wave of glory from God will come and we will be changed.
Yes, sir.
Now if you think I'm a fanatic, well then you just come go with me. But I'll tell you this, if you ever experience what I experienced, you'll want it again.
Yes.
And again.
Amen.
And again and again.
Amen.
When I got out of bed the second time and I put my foot down, I said, Lord, don't let it go to the floor. Brother Bram said, Enoch just went out and he just took a walk. And as he's walking along, one foot didn't go all the way down. He's just like walking upstairs.
Amen.
How many believe those things?
Amen.
Now, all I can do is tell you, if you want to believe something about it, that's up to you. But I believe that the more you think about it, the more you read about it, it finally becomes part of you.
Amen.
That's the way we change. But I want the Word to change us. Every promise, we claim it.
Amen.
Every quote that Brother Brown gives us about it. Now, we talk about being ready and waiting. I found the words looking, loving his appearing, those expecting. And when I read the Gospels, I find 80% of the parables or more are about the return of the Lord. I mentioned to you the other morning about the 10 virgins, the talents, the wedding, the master leaving those in his vineyard, and all was about him going away and coming back. I ask you to, if you remembered about Brother Branham's parables that he gave about it.
Amen.
The meat packer's son.
Right.
Isn't that a wonderful story?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Oh, but I've heard that before. Well, does it still affect you tonight the way it affected you the first time you heard Brother Bram tell it?
Yes.
We need to tell them until Folks, nobody has to tell us a story. We just think about it and we get high.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't have to say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his own." You know John 3:16.
Yes, sir.
And just the thought of you being lost, but now you're saved, ought to thrill you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Let's look at Matthew chapter 22. Begin with verse 1. We'll read 14 verses. You can read it in your Bible or you can read it here. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, 'Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage.'" I feel like we're right there now. "But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage.'
Yes.
So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, 'Friend,'" he didn't say enemy, "'friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment on?' And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'"
Amen.
Now, folks, I didn't write that parable. Brother Branham didn't write that parable. Jesus Christ, God manifested in flesh, preached that complicated sermon. And it's true. That's just the way it's going to be. There's a lot of people been asked to come, and they don't have time. They're going to refuse to go. There's a lot of people going to be invited, and they're going to come, and they're not going to be ready. And there's going to be some people put out. I want to be a called one, a chosen one,
amen,
that's loving the appearing, the coming of God.
Amen.
Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. And we'll read 14 verses there. Begin with verse... Well, let's see. I want to get verse 27 in there too. I didn't give it to you. Matthew 24. Give me verse 27. That's one I added after I gave you the sheet. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I want to put that one in there because I want you to see that after it starts, folks, you won't have time to make any preparation. You need to be ready ahead of time.
Amen.
That would stop a lot of the things that people are believing about it today. You just need to be ready and waiting. You need to be watching for it. Now we'll go to verse 30 through 44. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And I'm not going to paint a picture of this, trying to compare it with what some people believe today. I'm just going to read you what he said. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect." Now, I want you to know that I believe that there'll be a gathering by the angels. Amen. That's the reason I think we need to believe in angels.
Yes. Amen.
I know some people that said, I don't believe in angels. We don't need angels. But you've never really read Brother Branham's teachings on them because there's 1,067 quotes about it. And Brother Branham said the only reason that you don't have angels in the churches today or in your life is because, first of all, you don't believe in them. And second, because you don't live a life that they can stand to be around.
Right.
And I think those are enough, two right there enough right. to make us repent of our lives.
Amen.
And I remind you that when this thought came to me and really meant something to me is when Brother Billy Paul told the story about him swatting his little boy on the seat of the diaper, and Brother Branham got up and left the room because Billy had made little Paul's angel angry. And I am, let's say, intelligent enough to know that little Paul is not the only one that has one.
Amen.
And then I can hear, in the light of that, I can hear Brother Branham talk about the angels in this room, and they're here tonight, and they're with us, and we've all got them from the time they are, and we've all got guarding angels. And I want you to know, folks, tonight that when a sinner comes to repent, his angel is happy, their angel is happy, and my angel gets happy, and all the others, and it just changes the atmosphere in this place.
Yeah.
And you can't help but pucker up and cry or feel a little tremble or so forth. And it's because the atmosphere of the angels changes because they rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. But now, if you don't believe in them, then it don't have any effect on you. But to me, I believe that God has promised, Jesus taught, that there'd be angels that would gather us together. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. I also believe in this. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. I know that summer is nigh.
Amen.
Israel is home.
Right.
So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is nearer, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now whether that was 48 to 88, whether it was the people who were living, the people who were there. I want you to know, folks, it's been long enough now that we're getting pretty close to whatever generation and wherever it starts and ends.
Amen. Absolutely.
Heaven and earth shall pass away. Well, do you believe that's going to happen?
Amen.
Is heaven and earth going to pass away?
Amen.
But my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. That's, again, the seventh seal. Brother Bible says that I come, Lord, but nobody knows. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, you may be a little offended, some may be, because I talk about the seventh seal so much. I don't mean to rub that in, but I want to ask you this honest. If the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord, how am I going to talk about the coming of the Lord if I don't mention the seventh seal? You're wanting me to take away from the words what you want me to do, and I'm not going to do it. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Amen.
Now, I've heard people talk about this one. I've heard people say, well, we all know how simple it was in Noah's day, and he did this and he did that, and we don't need to be reminded of that. Listen, folks, it's worse now than it's ever been.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
Absolutely.
Brother Branham talks about being able to discern these things in Noah. I'll tell you what, I don't think Brother Branham could stand it today. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah went into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Yes.
Now, when I hear people say, well, nobody knows. We don't know. We won't know. You know, that's a good time for them to come. That's what Jesus said would happen. People say, well, it won't happen. It's too late. It's too early. You know, that's the time he's going to come.
Amen.
All right. Those are the words of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Now, that's the 10 virgins. Probably all of them could tell me this story, but let's read it from the scriptures. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Everybody took a nap.
Yes.
Everybody got cold. Everybody got indifferent. Everybody lost their enthusiasm.
Yep.
And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose. See, they're all good people.
Yes.
Virgins. And trimmed their lamps. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Ready and waiting. Not just expecting or looking, but ready and waiting.
Amen.
Prepared. They went in with him in the marriage and the door was shut. There's going to come a day when there's going to be a time that it's too late.
Yes. Amen.
Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I want to be known by the Lord.
Amen.
Afterward, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Heavenly, that parable's got anything to do with the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Now let's go to the writer Luke, chapter 12, and there's 14 verses there, 32 through 46. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen to the way Brother Branham says this. God desires your fellowship more than you desire His. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost more than you want it. Do you believe it's God's desire that all men be saved and none be lost?
Amen.
All that the Father hath given will come.
Yes, sir.
Not one of them shall be lost. But God desires that all men would be saved. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was valuable enough, precious enough, that it took away all the sins.
Yes.
If men will confess their sins so he can forgive them. He doesn't forgive or cleanse you from excused sin. Well, I made a mistake or I got away or I got cold. No, folks, you just committed an act of unbelief. And that was sin. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. I want you to know, folks, if all we had to do was just get rid of everything, that'd be easy. But there's a spiritual lesson for it.
Right.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him after they've taken time to prepare or change something. No, ready and waiting unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching.
Yes.
Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Folks, can you get a picture of this? We're talking about Almighty God serving His bride. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And I'll read you a quote after where Abraham talks about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yes.
He talks about those just like Jesus did here.
And
this know, but if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not.
Amen.
Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath.
Yes.
But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. I truly believe that if everybody that calls themselves Christians, and especially us that know Brother Brown to be the prophet and believe we say we believe his message, if we really believed in these parables, you wouldn't find anybody trying to hurt somebody else.
Amen.
You'd find everybody full of love and compassion and understanding and willing to be lost themselves.
Amen.
That others could make it. That would be the will of God. Now, let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter, and verse 7 through 35. Now, this is the longest we got here, but it's another wedding, and it talks about an architect or somebody building a tower, and it talks about a king going to war. So let's see here, because Jesus said this, and Luke thought it was important enough, he recorded for us. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man that thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Yes.
Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. I'll invite you if you'll invite me. Now, I invited you over, now you got to invite me back. You're not much of a giver. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
Yes.
And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he invited many. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. If you look at that, that pretty well covers every phase of our life, our business, our social, our family, our domestic, our own plans, our own ambitions. The parable, Jesus gave it all. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto him, the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And a lot of people want to take this to hate your mother, your father, you got a right to do this, but I'm going to tell you what he also said, your own self also. So don't leave that one out now. Or everybody can find something wrong with their mother, their father, their brothers or sisters, the other. Well, they did so and so and so and so and so. But he also said, and your own life also.
Yes.
That's to put God first and everybody else last. Amen. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he had sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all the behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassadage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen. Yes.
Let's read what Paul had to say about this. We've got these parables that Jesus gave, but Paul, the first church age messenger in 1 Corinthians 1:7, he said, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Was Paul waiting? Look how often he mentions this in greetings or salutations or even benedictions. He reminds them beginning, middle, end, always, that what he's looking for is the coming of the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God's coming. Paul was looking for him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Nevertheless, We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Wherewith, it's 3:12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how we turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Amen.
Are you convinced that Paul believed that God was coming?
Yes.
And he was looking for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Now, I could give you some other scriptures. I won't take your time, but let me just put them on tape for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 8, and Hebrews chapter 9, 28. I found those after I got to church tonight. Now, ready and waiting. Did Brother Branham believe we should be ready and waiting?
Amen.
Yes. I reminded you of the parable he gave us, the story of the meatpacker's son. Remember, this wealthy boy came from Chicago or wherever it was, and he told this unsightly girl that he'd be back for her.
Yeah.
And all the others made fun of her and everything else, but she believed him.
Yes.
And the day came.
Yes, sir.
When he came back.
Right.
She was ready too. The master in the scriptures who built who went away, left the others in charge. The parable of the 10 virgins with Jesus and watch and pray. But the scripture where it says, be ye also ready, for you know not at what hour the Lord may come. Now last Sunday we talked about an appointed time. We tried to show you that there's a difference. Our brother Bram said there was a difference in the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. The appearing is when God reveals himself to his people, because he uses his spirit-filled people to demonstrate Jesus Christ in the flesh.
Amen.
Not only Brother Branham, but in all the believers.
Yes.
Who will surrender and believe that God does manifest himself in the flesh.
Amen.
Now, I said what Jesus said. I read you what Paul said. Now let me give you about 14 quotes what Brother Branham says. Now, this should be enough to convince us all that we need to be ready and waiting. Let's see how Brother Branham took it and applied it for his own attitude and so forth. The sudden secret going away of the church preached in Jeffersonville on Sunday, 1958, October the 12th. Usually in the world today that people think of the appearing of the Lord as a horrible, dreadful thing. The world might continue to do it, but don't talk to me about that. They'll say they don't want to know about these things. They don't care about them. Just for the present day living, but those who love the Lord love his appearing.
Amen.
What if one of your loved ones, some of you older people, that your mother was gone on, or your father, or your baby, and they've been away for so many years, and you know that they might appear at any time?
Yes.
Well, you'd have the house all cleaned up. You'd be just be ready and watching down that road for every car light that turned in. You'd think it would be them. Now, that's the way the church ought to be watching for the coming of the Lord. Every time there's a knock on a door, every time you hear something sound like a trumpet, every time you feel the presence of the Lord, every time that spirit of the Lord, that conviction comes, you should say, is this the day? Because it'll be a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Just try to time how long it would take your eye to twinkle. That's just how quick the rapture of the church will take place. You know, the enemy always uses the tactic that the Lord uses. You know, when he seen that God was going to have a righteous church and the things that he was going to do, the enemy used the same strategy. He got a church and he got a people that's very religious, and they're just right on the toes of religious people, because he knows that Christ's church is the same way. And he does it out in military life. Second one, Brother Bram, we want to read it, is How Can I Overcome? It's in 1963, August the 25th, paragraph 22, and I just point this out for your observation. This is after the seals. But that don't hurt the rapture. Now see, they come first. Them are privilege that's gone on. They come first, see. Now Brother Bram's talking about those which are asleep in Christ.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you've ever caught this, not with Brother Bram, but Brother Bram was aware that in church history, back in Paul's day when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and Brother Bram read those things, because when he picked out the church age messengers by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, he read those in the early Nicene fathers and post-Nicene fathers, and this was one of the doctrines that they were having trouble with. Back there then, they were saying, well, if there's going to be the rapture is going to come and the Lord's going to take them away, well, then those that have already died, they won't be in a rapture. But Paul, when he wrote the church in Thessalonica, he wrote and said, brother, I would have you not to be ignorant, that those which are asleep in Christ, they shall come forth first.
Amen.
And here Brother Bram's referring to this. He said, they come first.
Yes.
They're privileged that's going on. In other words, I've even told you folks this. I stand a better chance, if people were my judge, of being raptured if I die. Because at my funeral, almost everybody would come and say, you know, Brother Brown, Brother Green really served the Lord. Brother Green loved Brother Brown. Brother Green did this. Brother Green did that. And I just believe I'll see him on that day. But now I'm alive and I'm standing there and say, he ain't a believer. So if it depended on men's judgment and opinion, I stand a better chance if I die first.
It's true.
I'd probably get more votes. Where right now they say, well, I'm not sure he's a believer. He don't believe it like I do. Excuse me for being personal, but that's just the way it comes across. Brother Bram said, they come first. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. That's what Paul was telling them. You people are worried about those that are asleep, but Paul said, I want you to not be ignorant, because they'll come forth first.
Yes.
The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones. Now, folks, I want you to listen to this. He says it about three times. When we see our loved ones, then we'll be changed. I believe that would change us all. You're sitting someplace at home or in your car or here or someplace, and you begin to see your loved one. Don't tell me that's not going to affect you.
Right.
Suddenly, some things that you hold so important and so drastic is not going to be that important anymore.
Right.
You're going to be willing to say goodbye, world, goodbye.
Amen.
That argument or that grudge you have with somebody is not going to matter anymore. And I've said that for years, and I've based it upon the quotes I found where Brother Bram said, when we see our loved ones, then when our eyes behold our loved ones. What if you see somebody that you didn't think wasn't going to make it? Go change your opinion about them in a hurry. Then we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Do you understand why Brother Bram says, if you got any ought in your heart against anybody, you're in danger of hellfire? Because that person you didn't think wasn't going to make it, you won't believe that's a resurrection.
Yeah.
You better let God have mercy on your enemies.
Right.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and with them shall be caught up together. The ones that goes first are privileged above those that are living. The next one is questions and answers. 1962, May the 27th, page 715, paragraph 135. Now listen, if I thought he was coming in the morning, tonight I'd preach the same message I'm preaching now.
Yes.
If I thought he was coming in the morning, I wouldn't go out and sell my car. I wouldn't go do this, that, or the other. I'd just go right on as I ordinary went, because every moment I'm watching for him to come. Because he might come just for you.
That's right.
It might be your hour, might be tonight. Maybe it's my hour tonight. I don't know, but one of them's going to be our hour.
Amen.
And what difference does it make if I'm living here or I'm buried out yonder? For if I'm already paid the penalty of death, I'll be there before any man that's a living.
Yes.
That's right. I say this. 2 Thessalonians 5th chapter. I say this to you in commandment of the Lord. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The privilege of those that are dead will come forth first. That's how we know that it's at the hand. Oh my.
Amen.
Did I say we need to be looking for the resurrection?
Yes. Right.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
So what difference does it make if I died in the time of Noah, if I died in the time of Abraham, if I died in the time of apostles, if I died 2 weeks ago or right now? What difference would it make? I'll be there in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
I'm only resting till that time. Any of you ever heard that before? Never read it at Brother Brown's funeral. At his memorial service. Number four. How can I overcome? 63:8-25. Just a few months after the seals. And now, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, those who are really loving his coming, that's living for it, when he appears in the sky, the church that's dead in Christ shall rise, and those will be changed in a moment. The rest of them will know nothing about it. Remember, appeared to those in the city. The rapture will be like that. We'll see each other and we'll see them. The rest of the world won't see them. It'll be caught away as a secret going, waiting for that time. Then returning back to the earth for that glorious millennium then. Now there's a coming.
Amen.
That other one is a coming.
Yes, right.
So there has to be a second and a third.
Right.
The rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Now, folks, that's all your pastor believes about the seventh seal. Why do people say no? I think we should say what Brother Bram said.
Yes.
Okay. Jehovah Jireh, number one. 1962, July the 5th. And then, remember, if we go before he comes, we'll be up and in his presence or raised before the others are changed. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. And I want you folks to notice the resemblance and the similarity of here is 62 and in 63. And the words are almost the same. And be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad and the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first. And then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be a time of worship.
Yes.
You think I act funny now? Watch me up there.
Amen.
It's going to be a wonderful time for me and all the rest of us when we get there. When we get over yonder. Is your life worthy of the gospel? 1963, June the 30th. Paragraph 64. When the trumpet sounded and all wanted to go free could go, them that didn't was marked. Now you see the mark of the beast? if we talk about in the future, is when it's going to be made manifest. When you realize it's what you've already done.
Right.
Some people can take the mark of the beast and not know they took it.
Yes, sir.
And so is the Holy Spirit. It's to be manifest when we see the Lord Jesus coming in glory and feel that transforming power and see the dead rising out of the grave and know in a second longer we'll be changed and have a body like His.
Yes.
It'll be made manifest. Then to see those who rejected it will be left down, out. The rapture, Yuma, Arizona, 65, December the 4th. Other day I stand on the street corner down here at 560 South Stone. I stand on the street corner and watching the Armistice Day parade. And when he went up, going up the street, I stood there with my little son Joseph. There come the first, was the old first war tanks come by, little old tanks. After that came the great Sherman tanks of the new war and the great cannons with their muzzle blast, a muzzle brake on them. And there came the soldiers, the Gold Star Mothers, and then there come a float with them. On down, well, down there come a float, and on the front of it was a grave to the unknown soldier. And there stood a soldier standing there, guard at the grave. There stood a Marine on the other side and a sailor on the other side. And there was a petition drawn, and on the other side sat a Gold Star mother. She had lost her boy. There stood a young wife and her head over on a table crying, a little ragged boy sitting sideways and the tears streaming out of his face. He'd lost his daddy. I thought, what sadness. I stand here and look and see them old, just a few of the soldiers left marching down there, crippled and old like that, with their uniform, but proudly displaying them because they were Americans. I thought, oh my God, one day there'll come a blast from heaven,
yes,
and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Them Old Testament saints back yonder who are waiting will blast forth and come out of there first and go into the resurrection. We'll drop right in line, going into the sky, these old mortal bodies changed and made like unto His own glorious body. Now, I want to hold it right there, because Brother Ram talks about Matthew 27, the dead in Christ right in the Old Testament. But here he talks about them coming forth in His resurrection.
Yes, sir.
What a parade that'll be when it starts heavenward. Some of these days, in that rapturing time that lays ahead. Ahead? Ahead? Excuse me, what does ahead mean?
Future.
Future? Proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ upon their chest, the message of God, and the hour that they lived in. That's the hour that we're looking for. Looking forward?
Yes.
Looking forward?
Right.
Questions and answers. 1964, August the 30th. Page 1114, paragraph 249. So potentially it's in here. And what is it? The word promised before the foundation of the world. And around there, this only reflects the negative. That will reflect the positive, the word, see? And the same thing is, or the translation of the bride will be the same thing.
Yes.
The word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word.
Yes.
And the same thing did by Sarah. You remember what I said to you at the beginning tonight? When that old body that she had, that first body, it had to be changed in order to produce a son. You get it? That body could not do it. This body cannot do it. So it'll have to be changed the same way to receive the son. There's going to be a change take place.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
My body, it's going to get better. My wife is going to get better.
Amen. Yes.
1957. Now let's go back. Now look, I want to ask you something. If it took the Holy Ghost to brood you out of the earth, and out of the earth you have come, and here you are now up to an intelligent person, and now if you without any choice, the Holy Spirit made you what you are today, and how much more can He who brought you from the earth in the first place raise you up at the last days? Though your body be scattered from the east to the west, remember your bodies was laying here when the Holy Ghost began to brood in the first place. If it didn't, where did it come from? Your calcium, potash, cosmic light and petroleum, the life here on the earth. God has put you together, and no else could do it. You can't get potash and calcium and pull it together and make a man. It takes the spirit of the life of God to come into the man to make him what he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Identified Masterpiece of God, 64, December the 5th. I asked you the other day to notice how many of these things happened on December the 4th or December the 5th. Brother Bam says, let's hum it. I love him. And he said, someday rainbows will sweep the sky. There'll be a trumpet sound. The dead in Christ shall be coming up. Oh, how we'll want it then.
Amen. Yes.
I love him.
Amen.
And purchase my salvation on Calvary.
Yes.
Jehovah Jireh, Louisville, Mississippi. I was privileged to be there. 1964. April the 4th, paragraph 204. Just like he had appeared to him down there, Elohim, he needed a body. He needed a body to come down to earth in. So he just gathered up the cosmic light and the petroleum and so forth and stepped into it. See, he is God.
Yes.
That's the way he'll do you. After you're no more than a spoonful of ashes in the dust, he'll just speak and you'll be there. He'll call your name and you'll answer. Folks, just think about that.
Glory to God. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
It really doesn't matter what others think. God wants that to come to pass. It is not difficult. He'll call your name.
Yes, sir.
And you'll answer.
Yes.
Amen.
What a promise. The Sixth Seal, 1963, March the 23rd, paragraph 434. Remember, if you tell them wrong, God will require their blood at your hands. Then
yes.
You think of that. It's a terrible thing, terrific thing. You see, this is where I think it's so dangerous. If somebody wants to come along and try to convince some people like those in the Congo that the Lord's already come, somebody's going to be responsible for that. But didn't Brother Bram say this? And didn't it imply this? And can't you see that there was a change in that? But he said, right there, don't never try to figure out anything. Just be simple before God, because the more you try to figure it out, the further you get away from Him.
Amen.
Just simply believe Him. Now, say, now, well, when will He come? If He comes today, all right. If He comes 20 years from now, it's still all right. I'm going to go just the way I'm going now, following Him. Lord, if You can use me anywhere, here I am, Lord. If it's 100 years from today, if my great-great-great-great-grandchildren still live to see Him coming, Lord, I don't know when it's going to be, but just let me walk right today.
Yes.
Just with You, see. I won't go, because I'll raise at that day just the same as I took a little nap somewhere.
Amen.
What difference does it make?
Amen.
1961. Brother Branham and his seed after him. April the 23rd. Now all along, instead of getting weaker, Abraham got stronger. The Bible said he was stronger giving praise to God. He knew it was going to happen. No matter how long it lingers, it's going to happen, going to happen. Like people today, they say, oh, the Bible said, it ain't no difference from the time our fathers fell asleep. Oh, I've heard that coming of the Lord since I was a little kid. My mother said she heard her mother talk about it. There's no such a thing. You see, then they go out and eat, drink, and be merry. You see that? They go out and start off because why? There's never been any confirmation of it in their heart yet. But when God once confirms that in your heart, instead of, if you get a real true seed of Abraham, instead of getting weaker as you see the days go by, you'll get stronger all the time. You say, well, if grandmother didn't see it and mother didn't see it, if I don't see it, I'll be looking for it. And if I don't, my children will see it. Well, I'm believing it. I fall asleep in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh watch, either church age. the first church age or to the last church age. Those watches, which are watches. If I fall asleep in each one of them, no matter where it is, I'll awake to Him that morning.
Yes.
So I'm going to be ready, believing that He's coming to this age.
Amen.
Ready, waiting, believing. What is the attraction on the mountain? 1965, July the 25th, paragraph 41. Oh, how I'd like to change my text for a few minutes and say this. That's what the matter today. The people who are looking for Him coming is under great anticipation and expectations. We can feel it, the pressure. And they're seeking, watching every move and every sign, comparing it with the Scriptures.
Amen.
Are we guilty of that? Are we watching, anticipating, comparing it with the Scriptures?
Yes.
Or we say, oh, we've heard that before. We've been hearing this for 45 years. But Brother Bram said, it doesn't matter if you're great, great, great grandchildren. You need to be ready and waiting tonight.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You really don't have any promise you'll get home tonight.
True.
Or wake up in the morning. What you do have is if you do fall asleep, you can come forth on that day. You do have a promise that if you're watching and ready and waiting, that one of these days, those that are asleep will begin to make themselves known to us, and that will change you. In the meantime, the more you hear that word, the more you believe that word, the more you practice that word, the more it will change you now. Not just waiting for that moment when you see the resurrection, but let that word manifest itself now.
Yes.
I believe that.
Amen.
And I'll have to confess that since I started believing and after reading all the times Brother Brown talks about it, I think that's the reason I'm being given an opportunity to experience this.
Yes.
Now, if you don't believe it's happening, let me tell you something. It won't be happening to you.
That's right.
It's just like believing you can become a son of God by being led by the Spirit. Well, if you don't believe God leads you by the Holy Ghost, well then, how are you ever going to learn?
Amen. That's right.
Well, I'm going to live good and clean. I'm going to tell you, folks, your holiness is like a filthy rag in the eyes of God.
Amen.
He's not going to change you because you're a good, sanctified Christian. If you live clean, then His Spirit can come and abide with you. But it's that Spirit that will change you.
Right.
And will give you faith. Brother Bram talks about rapturing faith. Well, some people think that's some kind of a great revelation. But Sister Nadine and I knew Donnie. We knew he was a man. She knew his faults. I knew his carnality. I know he liked to sleep. I know he liked to eat. We joked. We talked. But Brother Bram said he had the quickening power.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I believe it's possible for a man to be alive in this world we're living in today, in the midst of all the confusion and the controversy, and still be a son of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
You're looking for him?
Amen.
Then be ready. Be watching. Be waiting. Be anxious. If somebody says something, gives you an opportunity, you say, yeah, I'm looking for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
I expect Him any minute now.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, burn in our hearts tonight.
Amen.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed. Let's stand together. Do I get a key that's not on that piano? You know, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And I have a way of getting a key that's not on that piano. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Set my heart on fire. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. And one more time. Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. And God's will desire. Make me like the Christ of old. Since I'm on the subject of the coming of the Lord, and you heard Brother Branham say tonight, the dead in Christ will rise first, I feel like Sunday morning, the Lord willing, I'm going to talk to you about the resurrection.
Amen.
What the Scripture says and what Brother Branham says about it, and just what we can begin to expect. And I know we won't get through with it Sunday morning, so the Lord willing, we'll continue Sunday night. And I want to bring in that Brother Branham said that there will be an earthquake. Time of the resurrection.
Amen.
There has been the past.
Right.
Brother Bram talks about the last one. And that earthquake prophecy has had a tremendous effect on us as a church and as a families and as people. And we asked Sunday about if Brother Branham had not given the prophecy about the California earthquake and choosing a bride in California in April of 65, there's a lot of people that will never move from California. They wouldn't even believe in an earthquake. But Brother Branham said there'd be one.
Yes.
And it's scriptural to believe that there'll be one. And at time of that, the resurrection will occur.
Amen.
So, if you don't want to hear about the resurrection and the coming of the Lord, you can stay home Sunday. Or go find some preacher preaching about something else. But I want you to know, I believe the Lord's coming.
Amen.
Look up, your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
The day of redemption is nigh. Can we sing that one? The day of redemption, men's hearts are failing for me. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption. Let's sing it one more time. The day of redemption. Think about it. Yes, amen. Yes, be filled with the Spirit. Look up, your redemption. Lord, help us to be ready and waiting. Forgive us where we've been slowful or slow of heart. And our actions and our lives show, Lord, that we sometimes are not enthused about it. But give us that touch, Lord, that quickens us. That stirs that up within us. That the whole world is groaning and travailing for this. Let us, as your children, as your bride, be anxious about this. Because we received an invitation. Help us to have the wedding garment on. Amen. Amen. Have you received your invitation?
Yes, sir.
Got your wedding garment on?
Yes.
How's that song go? I have my wedding garment on. What? This old world. I think we ought to sing it in more enthusiasm, and I can sing it in bass, okay? This old world. Let that word dress you now and let it change that flesh you live in.
Amen.
And you'll begin to feel some of the enthusiasm, and maybe God will be merciful to us that we can all experience this thing. It'll give us this touch that'll keep us stirred up about it.
Amen.
Maybe become addictive to it.
Amen.
And we just want it.
Amen.
To live in that atmosphere and that presence. Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I thank you. Thank you for coming tonight. Giving me an opportunity to vent what I feel.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.